So when I was in ninth grade, I was playing football, and the very first game, I broke my leg. I broke this big bone on, like, between your knee and your ankle called the tibia right there on the front. Broke it clean through, all the way through. And, yeah, that's me in ninth grade, pretty dorky looking. And I had a cast, a plaster cast from my hip all the way to my toes for, like 2 months. And it was miserable. And, like, I just, my leg was like this the whole time for 2 months. And I was on crutches and all that stuff. And so it was a long healing process, and it really created a lot of challenges. So, like, I couldn't carry anything because I was on crutches the whole time. One time I was at home by myself one afternoon, and I wanted to move, like, a textbook from my room to, like, the table where I was working. And so, like, I crutch to my room, and, like, I get the textbook, and I'm, like, kind of got it pinned between, like, the handle of the crutch, and, you know, and I'm, like, trying to crutch along, and I just topple over, and it hurts so bad, and it was so, like, embarrassing, and nobody was there to see me, which was a good thing, but also nobody to help me, which made it even worse. And it was just so miserable. That was terrible. Whenever I showered, I had to put a garbage bag over it and, like, seal it up, because if that got wet, it'd get really bad and really stinky. And I, you know, I have no sense of smell, but I didn't want to, you know, be the smelly guy around people. And so, and then also, like, you know, it was August and September in Texas, so, you know, you're always sweating, so that was miserable. You know, when I had to use the bathroom, such a challenge. It was terrible. It created a lot of challenges for me, having a broken leg with a cast covering a whole leg, always on crutches. But it also created a new opportunity that I had never really taken advantage of. And that was, like, I worked out my upper body all the time. And, you know, in football, you have to work out a lot. You know, I didn't have practice because, well, we had practice, but I couldn't participate. So I just go to the weight room. And, you know, I couldn't work out my legs at all. And so I would just literally do bench press, like, every day. And I would just do all these arm exercises and upper body exercises. And then if you've ever used crutches, you know, even crutching around is a workout. And it doesn't take long for your arms just be burning. And I realize, as I say, it sounds kind of like, okay, come on, what are you trying to brag about here? But, like, my point is that for 2 months of only working out my upper body, like, I got really strong there in ways that I had never had before. Like, as you can see, this was towards the beginning, and I was kind of pretty scrawny. And so I just had an opportunity to get a lot stronger in my upper body. And so I tell you that because what I want to ask you is, hey, could the same be true when it comes to our faith in Jesus? So, like, 2020 has been this crazy, rough, goofy, challenging year. But what if you came out on the other side of 2020 a different version of yourself? What if you were less anxious than you were in 2019? What if you were less controlled by fear? What if you were more intentional in your words with your friends? You know, we've been talking about how we want Wake to be a place where every student is known and accepted, taught about Jesus, and challenged to grow. And, you know, the truth is, Jesus loves you just the way you are. He just doesn't want you to stay there. And so we want to be a part of that, challenging you to grow. And here's the truth. There are new challenges in 2020, which leads to new opportunities to grow in your faith that has never been there before. But before I talk about what it means to grow in your faith, let me talk to some of you in this room who might say, hey, I don't even have a faith. Like, it's my parents made me come, or, like, I know, you know, my parents believe in God, or my friends believe in Jesus, but I've never really been there, or I'm not really sure. And I just want to tell you, the idea of growing in your faith is for Christians. But a faith in Christ is available for all. See, God designed the world to operate in a way that is good, right? And we have this thing called sin in each of us where we say, God, I know what you designed the world to go, but I don't care about that. I'm going to go my own way. And that sin breaks apart a relationship with a perfect and holy God who loves us. And we go our own way. It fractures that relationship. Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, came down to earth, lived a perfect life, and then died on the cross. And when he died for that sin in you and in me, in all of us, your individual sin he died for. And then 3 days later, he came back to life. Now he died for your sin to pay for that punishment, that broken relationship between you and God. And when he rose from the dead, it was proof that it is paid for. And that creates an opportunity for every single individual to place their faith in Jesus and in what Jesus has done as the only way to have a relationship with God. Jacob, last week, as we talked about, taught about Jesus, referenced when Jesus said, "Hey, I am the way." He's the only way. And that's the first step, is placing your faith in Jesus and what he has done for you. And if you've never done that, man, we would invite you to do that today. We'd invite you to talk to small group leaders that are sitting in yellow shirts here. Maybe if somebody brought you here, to talk to them and say, "Hey, have you placed your faith in Jesus?" Talk to one of us, me, Ryan, or Rebe. We'll be right outside of that desk, right out there after this. Come talk to us. We could help you answer some questions and figure out, if you've never done that before, what that would look like. But for those of you that have already done that, you are now in a place where from now until the time where you spend eternity in heaven with God, you can grow in your faith. Okay, so here's what I want to answer first, though. We got to lay a little bit of a foundation. I want to answer the question, what does it mean to grow in your faith? Because in all reality, if you've been at church a little bit, you've heard that phrase, grow in your faith, thrown out. And you might be like, what does that actually mean? Like, what does that look like in real life? Well, let me point you to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. We'll throw it up on the screens. Here's what it says. So all of us who have had that veil removed, that's Christians, people have put their faith in Christ, all of us can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. And so here's the answer. A Christian growing in their faith is a person who looks more and more like Jesus. A Christian growing in their faith is a person who looks more and more like Jesus. So me and my wife, Emily, we have two kids and they both look like us, right? So like Annie right there is the one on the right. We just had her. She's 3 months old. And that is a baby picture of Emily, my wife, on the left. And they look very similar. Harper is our first daughter, and she is about 2 years old. And here's Harper on the right, and then that's a little kid picture of me on the left, and she looks a lot like me, which I'm sorry for her, but it's true. And, you know, I'd rather look like Emily than Sean if I had to pick one. But, anyway, so Harper looks like me, but here's the crazy part that I've noticed. Harper doesn't just look physically like me, she's starting to look like me in behavior. So I have this really bad habit that I've always wanted to quit, is biting my nails. Anybody else bite their nails just out of habit? Here's the thing. I don't do it because, like, I really don't do it because I'm nervous. I've just always done it. And it's just this really bad habit. If I'm in a movie and I'm like really into the movie, like I don't even catch myself biting my nails. I just do it. It's a habit. Maybe this will be the year where I finally break it. What I've seen Harper doing over the last month is biting her nails. She's not even 2 yet. But she sees me do it, and she's looking to her dad, and she sees what her dad's doing, and she looks more and more like me the longer that we spend time together. And I tell you that because I want you to have that same idea that a Christian growing in their faith is continually changed into someone who looks more and more like Jesus. And when I say looks more and more like Jesus, I specifically mean his characteristics. The characteristics of Jesus, the way he loves people, his love for God the Father, the way he responds with compassion and patience, how he is slow to anger, his boldness in speaking, his willingness to be interruptible and to minister and care for people that are in front of him, his wisdom. On and on and on. So if growing in my faith means I look more and more like Jesus in those regards, how do I do that? That's the next question I want to answer for you. And let me put it to you really simply. Growing in my faith means I trust God more than I used to. How do I look more and more like Jesus? I trust God more than I used to. That's how you know if you're growing in your faith. Do you trust God more than you used to? Do you trust God more than you did when you were in fourth grade? Do you trust God more than you did when you went through whatever difficult or hard situation in your life? Do you trust God more than you did in 2019? To grow in my faith means I trust God more than I used to. Check out this section of 2 Peter where Peter is writing a letter to other Christians. And here's what he says. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. So Peter tells his fellow Christians first to respond to God's promises. And the way you first respond to a promise is by believing in it, by trusting in it, by putting your faith in it. Then he gives this whole list that we just read of things to supplement that faith with. He says, hey, supplement your faith with all these other things that he listed. Now that word supplement, I want you to think about that for a second. When you think of supplement, right, you can think of people that exercise a lot will use supplements to help them build muscle, right? People that are wanting to be healthy might take vitamins as supplements, health supplements. Now, here's the thing. When somebody takes a vitamin, they don't go, hey, I'm going to pass on dinner tonight and just have this small little vitamin. That's not what they do. They take their vitamin along with dinner. It's not replacing what they're eating. It's adding to it. And in the same way, what Peter is saying is, hey, it starts with faith. It starts to responding to God's promises with faith by trusting in God. That's the base. That's the foundation. And then growing in your faith means trusting God more. And the reason I want to make sure that you guys understand that is because there's this idea sometimes that the Christian life, the life as a Christian, the life pursuing Christ, can be explained by, hey, I do more of these things that I'm supposed to do, and I do less of these things that I'm not supposed to do. That is not the heart of being a Christian. That is called just changing your behavior. The heart of being a Christian is that I love God because of who He is. Is that I trust God. I put my faith in Him and His work on the cross as my only hope for true life. In this life and in the eternity to come. That's the heart of being a Christian. And that seed of faith, that's what continues to grow in us. That's what determines our actions. That trust in God. And as we trust in God more, it changes our actions. We don't have to go change our behavior. As we trust God more, then we will naturally change our actions. So like, let me give you a small example of a way that's played out in my life. Joke stealing. How many of you guys have ever said a joke, and maybe not a lot of people heard it, but somebody who did hear it said it louder, and everybody laughed? Has that ever happened to anybody? A few of you? Man, I'm going to be honest, that used to just drive me crazy. It would make me so mad when I would say a joke, and then somebody else would take that joke and say it louder and got a ton of laughs and never give me any credit. That used to really, like, genuinely make me mad at my friends or the people around me. And here's what was happening in that moment in my heart. I didn't care as much about people enjoying a laugh. I cared more about being the reason that people laughed. And let me tell you, like, now, whenever that happens, it still happens sometimes, obviously, it happens to all of us. There are times I'll still catch myself being that mad and being that frustrated. But I would tell you honestly, and I'm not trying to brag, I'm just trying to give an example here. Honestly, it doesn't bug me as much as it used to. And there are a lot of times when that happens now that I just go, oh, man, I'm glad somebody else got to laugh because of that. I'm not needing to be the reason behind why people are laughing near as much as I used to. Now look, let me just tell you, that is not because I've just gotten older, okay? That's not because, hey, I'm just As I get older, I naturally mature. It is because I follow Jesus more and I trust him more. I trust God when he says, let me be your source of joy. Let me be your source of approval. Let me be your source of delight. I've just learned to trust that more. I've trusted that truth more and more and more, and it has made me less prideful in that joke-stealing situation. It's made me look more like Jesus in that situation. And there are a ton of other ways I still need to trust God more, but that's just a small example of a way that, hey, trusting God has changed my actions just naturally. And I'd hope that you guys can think about some of the ways in your life that has played out and talk about it in your small groups this week. So if growing in your faith means looking more like Jesus because I trust God more than I used to, here's where I want to make this really useful to you. As a 6th, 7th, or 8th grader, how can you grow in your faith in 2020? How specifically can you grow in 2020? How could this season, this challenging year, provide new opportunities for you to grow in your faith? And I'm going to quickly give you 5 ways, and then we'll wrap it up. The first is this. Ask God to strengthen your faith. James 1:5 said this. If you need wisdom, if you lack faith, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. It is that simple. If you lack faith, ask God. If you need the wisdom that comes from faith, ask God and he will give it to you. And so every day, I should be, you should be asking God, God, help me to trust you more today. And he will do that. Second is this, seek to understand God's word. And there's a reason I'm saying seek to understand, because this is not some like check the box, hey, I'm going to read my Bible for 15 minutes and we're good. I want you to make it a goal of your life to understand this book. And this is not a book about right and wrong. It is a book about God and who he is. And the more you understand it, the more you understand who God is. And the more you understand who God is, how great his love is, how sovereign and in control he is of everything, his purposes, it'll help you to trust him more, just naturally. So to understand this, you have to get in it. You have to actually open it up and read it and try to understand what's happening. Don't just keep it on your nightstand as the spot where you put your Nintendo Switch or you put your phone on top of when you're done with it. The third one is this, live confidently. Ephesians 6 says, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. Put on the peace that comes from the good news. Well, what is the good news? Well, let's go to Romans 8. It'll be on the screen. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? All as the scriptures say, hey, for your sake, we are killed every day. We're being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And there is a peace that comes from knowing that no matter what, nothing can separate us from God's love. And that peace is a lot different and looks a lot different than the fear that we often see in the world. And there's a lot of it right now. And so rest in that truth. Find the peace that comes from that truth and live confidently. The fourth is this, look outward. If you were to go read John 20, you would see right after Jesus' death, the disciples lock themselves in a room because they are so scared. And like we can all relate to that. Like what do we do at night when we're scared? We get in our bed and we pull the covers over us, right? We've been doing that since we were kids. That's what we do when we're scared. And here's what happens. Fear turns inward, right? When we're fearful, we go, hey, I got to look out for number one here. Hey, I'm gonna go away and hide to my spot, whether that's under my covers or locked in a room or wherever. I'm going to go to my spot. I'm going to turn inward. But here's the thing. Faith turns outward. And so here's my challenge. If you want to trust God more, get out of your room. In this season, now is the time to be effective. Now is the time to care for people. There are opportunities all around you to love people with the love of God, even if you are quarantined like crazy. You can still get out of your room, engage the people around you, whether that's your family, call your friends, and find out what's going on in their lives. Right? Instead of just worrying about what you might be fearful of. And I'm telling you, as you do that, you will naturally trust God more. If you will take that step to look outward instead of letting your fear turn inward, you will learn to trust God more. And the fifth one is this: grow together. 2 Timothy 2:22 is a verse you should all memorize. It's easy to remember because it's just a bunch of twos, right? 2 Timothy 2:22, it says this: flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. And I really want you to look at that second part: along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. There's a saying that if you want to go fast, go alone, but if you want to go far, go together. And if you really want to grow in your faith in a significant way, you've got to find people to help you do it. That is the reason we have small groups. Is that you can link up with people and share your life with them, and they can share their lives with you, and you can have long-term relationships and pursue God and help each other trust God more than you used to together. So if you're not in a small group, please sign up for one. Come by the wake desk. We would love to help you figure out how to do that. It is not hard. Sixth graders, your small groups are launched at the end of this month. We can't wait for that. Seventh and eighth graders, yours are meeting now. Jump in. If you have to FaceTime in, jump in. Grow together. Get in a small group. And so this morning, we talked about what it means to grow in your faith, to trust God more than you used to, and how each challenge is an opportunity to do that. And so I want to invite up my friend Ruthie Grant, who was just leading us in a time of worship. I want to ask her to share how she has trusted God more through a difficult season she was in and has been in. And so let's turn it over to Ruthie.
Hi, my name is Ruthie Grant, and I'm a sophomore in high school enrolled in Dallas Community College's dual credit program. My whole life, I have had the privilege of being raised in a Christian home where, as a family, we attended church weekly, and at a very young age, I gave my life to Christ. Though the Christian faith and the name Jesus was a daily topic in my house, my relationship with Jesus Christ didn't truly impact my life until I was in sixth grade. When I was 11 years old, hidden truths and secrets were told in my family, and everything I had ever known began to crumble. I was legally not allowed to see two of my older brothers, and I had to move in with my older sister and her husband for 4 months. Immediately, I turned to God. I don't remember ever having a hesitation or wondering if he was still good, because I knew he was. Mark 10:18 says, "No one is good except God alone." Just because my present circumstances had changed didn't mean that God's promises were any less true. As I had just entered junior high, so started my wake journey, and I was put into a small group with God-fearing girls my age and leaders who were all walking, talking examples of what it meant to have a relationship with Jesus. Because of all of the legal processes that my family was going through, I wasn't allowed to talk to any of my friends about the deep pain that I felt from having my family torn apart. I remember the first time that I sat down with my small group leaders and was able to be vulnerable and real with them, finally being allowed to tell somebody about the brokenness of my family. Right after I met with them, my small group leader sent me a piece of scripture that has been my cry, Psalm 130. In November of seventh grade year, my mom was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, a cancer in the bone marrow. This was the start of my fear of the unknown. The people around me were continually pouring into me and checking up on me. But outside of my small group and close friends, my mom's sickness was something that I tried not to tell people about. Not because I was ashamed of it, but because it was so hard to keep answering questions about it. In the moment, I was just taking the next step. Even with my mom going through chemotherapy and having to stay in the hospital, I didn't realize the heaviness that was on my heart. Just this year have I been able to process what it means to have a sick parent. It's scary and it's hard to live with the unknown looming over me. But Psalm 34, 4 through 5 says this, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant and their faces are never covered with shame. It can still be hard to tell people about my mom, but I know that God is working through this chapter. I still take the situation out of God's hands and back into my own, but by seeking him daily, I am learning how to trust him fully with it, knowing that he is the ultimate healer. I still haven't seen my two brothers since sixth grade, and my mom still has cancer, but my God is still so big, and he is still so good. He still has a plan much bigger than anything this world could ever offer. I'm still waiting for all of the pain that I feel to be completely healed. I'm waiting for the day that I can see my brothers, and I'm waiting for the day that my mom is cancer-free, and I have no idea when these days will come. But I do know the truth stated in Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. All of us here have one thing in common. We live in a fallen world filled with brokenness, pain, and suffering, and we have all experienced those things in one way or another. So if you can relate to any part of the story that God is writing through me, I encourage you to do this. Take advantage of the time that you have now. I don't regret a single time that I've read my Bible. I don't regret a single time that I chose to go to small group. I don't regret a single step that has led me closer to God. And I can stand here today and tell you this. God is worth it and he is good. He is worth the pain of saying no to this world and he is good through the brokenness, the suffering, and the doubt that this world brings. He is so worth it. Thank you for letting me share my redemption story.
Thanks, Ruthie.
Okay, well, guys, you heard it from Ruthie. I mean, she's not that far removed from the seats that you're sitting in now. And it was when she was sitting in these seats that she faced, man, some crazy, difficult challenges that still linger today. And you just heard her say that she trusts God more now than she did then because she's leaned into those. She wasn't paralyzed by fear, by those challenges, but she sought to grow in her faith. She sought to trust God more. She asked God to strengthen her faith. She got in God's word. She lived confidently, looked outward, and grew together with her small group. And here's what we want you to know. This has been a hard year for a lot of us in a lot of different ways. And the challenges in your life may not even be related to COVID or anything else happening in 2020. They may just be challenges that are going on in your life with your family or your friends or whatever is happening. And we want to encourage you to not just view them as challenges, but to view them as opportunities. See this season for what it is. It is a challenge, but it is also an opportunity. And if you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, it's an opportunity to grow in your faith. Specifically, to answer the question, who then is Jesus? With the answer, he is my Savior. We would love to help you do that. And if you walked into this room as a Christian, it's an opportunity to grow in your faith. Specifically, to trust God more now than you did before. Let me pray that we would. God, we would never probably have asked for this year. Never asked for the challenges that we face, that our world faces. God, if we're honest, we would probably never ask for any challenges in our lives. But in this broken world, broken by our sin, and the sin of those around us, God, you have chosen to allow challenges to be a part of our lives. And God, I pray that you would give us the perspective to not just see them as challenges, though it is okay to see them as challenges. I pray that you would help us to also see them as opportunities to grow in our faith. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody in this room that has never taken that first step of faith, to put their faith in you and what you've done on the cross, I pray that they wouldn't just sit there in the quiet, God, but that they would come tell somebody, a leader or one of us or the friend that brought them. And Lord, I pray for those of us who walked into this room having put our faith in you at some time before, God, that you would help us to trust you more than we did before. Help us to do that, God, because everything else will come as a part of trusting you more. Show us the parts of our hearts where we don't trust you, and help us to change those. Help us to trust you more. God, we ask all this, knowing it's by your grace alone, for your glory, and for our good. Amen.